turn to Isaiah chapter 66. I want to show you today a few passages of Scripture that have to do who to pray for. You know, we live our life very selfishly sometimes. It's me, my four, no more. And we're most concerned about those things that are very personal and those people that live in our house. And that's usually where we start to pray. We pray for mama and the children, and that's a good thing. We may pray for the neighbors. We may pray for our boss if we're working. But sometimes we don't do exactly what God wants us to do because we're so self-centered. I know when I pray for my children, even though they're median adults. I still pray for Wayne. We do a lot of praying that only affects our life. And that's right. That's not a matter of condemnation. That's right. That's good. That's what you're supposed to do. But when you look in the window of the Scripture, you'll see a totally different picture. Now, Paul was not married. He couldn't pray for his wife and children, but he did pray for the churches where he had influence. And he prayed wonderful prayers in Ephesians and Colossians and Thessalonians. Those places where he had spoken or that knew him, he prayed for them. Those people that he knew and loved, he sent greetings to them. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing. You know, Jesus talked to the Pharisees. He said, talk about their tithing. They tithed 10% of even the herbs that grew in their field, the mint and the anise and the other things. And they would tithe 10%. And he said, you ought to have done that. But you've left some things undone. And that's what came to me as I was saying this morning. We ought to have done that, to pray for our family, certainly. To pray for our friends, to pray for those we know are sick or struggling. We ought to have done that. But I believe there's some things that we could do better, some things that we could accent in life. Are you like me, have cooked a dish, you just ought to have done better? You ever done that? It was okay. I mean, my house, nobody complains. Because if you complain, you get to cook the next one. Just Wayne, he's not much of a complainer anyway, but you just know you ought to have done better. And then sometimes you do so well, you just surprise yourself. We had this little deal last night. It was actually made from leftovers. And Wayne would say, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is just really great. I'm thinking, who would have thought? I said, you do know you had that yesterday. Yeah, I recognize it. He said, but it's just better. It's good. I thought, well, you know, your mouth hangs up and you know how that happened. Well, anything good happens because the Holy Ghost is in it. Anything good in prayer is because the Holy Ghost is leading us. And he's going to lead us far beyond our family, though we're going to pray for our family. Those things are good. These things are good. But there's some things we ought to do better, some things we ought to incorporate into our prayer time. We ought to have greater vision. And what I want to do is plant greater vision to you, in you. And this is verse 8 of chapter 66 of Isaiah. He said, who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Now, in the Old Testament, a lot of times we have what we call the law of double reference. It refers to a physical happening at that moment, at that time. It also refers to a spiritual happening at some future date. And Zion is Israel. And it's talking about Zion, or Israel becoming a nation. As soon as she became, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Referring to the nation of Israel. The official status of that nation, 1947. But it also refers to the church because Zion is used in Hebrews 13 as a type of the church. The Old Testament has types and shadows or patterns. I used to sew. I said, if I ever have any money, I'd never sew again. I didn't like sewing. I could tailor a man's suit, but I never did capture the thrill of sewing. I mean, I'd rather other people that are thrilled with it. I wasn't thrilled with it. I was looking for some money to buy. I wanted to buy. You know, to go you there for and buy, that was my concept. I used to go to the department store and quote a pastor that we had in years gone by, and he'd give the altar call, and he'd say, say after me, Lord, I need you. I want you. I ask you now. Come into my life. And that's what I do in the department store. I'd say, oh, I need you. I want you. I ask you now. You have to have money to buy. So the day came that we were able to retire our sewing machine, but you had a pattern. Now, the pattern's not the dress or the skirt or whatever you're making. But the pattern gives the guidelines. A lot of times the Old Testament is patterns and types. It means something to them, but it's a pattern of something in the future. It's a guideline of something in the future. And Zion is a type of the church. And so this is talking about the church in prayer. As soon as Zion travailed, travail meaning childbirth, it means grief and pain, it means to form. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. I know on a normal day I just speak for myself because I don't know about you. When I begin to pray, I'm searching my family. I'm searching my friends. I'm remembering some requests that were brought to me. Some people said, would you pray for us? Those are the things I'm probably praying about. I'm probably not thinking about the lost. To bring forth children is to bring the lost into the kingdom. And this this is a very graphic verse, and some people are never going to get born again if somebody doesn't pray in travailing prayer. And we said there are stages of prayer, and it's not that you pray 1, 2, 3, 4. You can start anywhere you want because you're following the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit is, that's where you are. But first, we can pray with our understanding. We can just pray because we know how to pray. We know the situation. Sometimes we're praying for a person in particular. Often on Friday and Saturday, we should lend ourselves and yield ourselves to those people that will be in our church services who need to make a recommitment or a first-time commitment. But it says there's travail. Now, travail comes by the Spirit. You can't decide to travail. And travail is a sound of the Spirit. They're words of the Spirit. They're sound of the Spirit. You can start with your intellect with what you understand. Now, Matthew chapter 9 says, pray laborers in the harvest. And what we do is, may Lord save them. Do you know that won't work? You can forget that. He already saved them. Well, see, if you ask me to cook a meal and I've got a meal on the table, you're wasting your words. You need to cook something. You need to cook something before I already cooked it and it's already sitting out there. You should be alert to know it's already ready. Right? And God's already saved them. He already sent Jesus. What is the problem? They don't know it. Or they don't see it. They don't understand it. And so we're going to yield ourselves to the Spirit. And it says, pray for laborers.